Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
As mentioned, we are continuing in our series from Hearing from God, which was awesome. You kicked it off for us last week, and I get to share on some ways that I personally hear from God, ways that have helped me, which may help you, but even more than that, it's my prayer this morning that you would leave convinced that God wants to speak to you, that you would leave knowing that God loves you and wants to speak to you, and that isn't reserved just for the front row or for the person to your left or to your right, but for you. He wants to speak to us. So we're going to start by looking at a story in the Bible of somebody who heard God speak for the very first time. And I pray that it serves us as an encouragement this morning that we can all hear. So we're going to turn, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 10. And it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call, go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call, go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" And we read that Samuel hadn't yet heard from God, but through a bit of encouragement from Eli, he too learns that God, in fact, is wanting to speak to him. So I want to tell you today that hearing from God isn't just for Christians who have been Christians for decades. It is for you, because we see that it's God calling out to Samuel. And being able to hear from God is founded in your identity as a child of God. And that's why I think the enemy is always wanting to tear down our relationship between us and God. It's why you'll often hear Christians say either, "Oh, I can't hear from God," or "I don't know how to pray." Because both of those are our communication channels to the Lord, and they're powerful, and the enemy knows it. So he'll either convince you that you can't hear, or he'll want to stop you from obeying when you do hear God speak. So first, we have to believe that we can hear from God. We have to have a confidence that we can hear him speak. Because if we don't, I think it can be really hard to recognize his voice when he does. And it's because I know that God loves me. We can say that. God loves me, and he wants to be my teacher, and he wants to speak to me. So I have an expectation that he will. I spend my time with him and expect him to talk to me. But this expectation that I have, it's just not what I've made up. It's a promise found in the word of God. So we'll turn to John 10, verses 2 to 5. We read, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. And knowing that the sheep hear and know the shepherd's voice gives me confidence. Because when I put my faith in God, and when you put your faith in God, Jesus is no longer a stranger. Rather, he's our shepherd. And we read that Jesus calls you by name. He leads you out. And did you see, he is the one who is going before and they follow. It's the obedience that comes once we've heard God speak to us. And why do I think it's so important that we know that God is speaking to us and for you to believe that you can hear from him? Because how do we learn to speak as a child? It's not by speaking, it's by hearing. So if you want to speak life, you need to hear from the author of life. If you want to speak the promises of God over yourself and others around you, you need to hear the promises of God spoken over you. And if you want to speak hope into a situation, hear God speak hope into you. For learning what and how God speaks, it will develop a new language in us. And it will always be a language of faith. For that is what we are called to speak. We are called to speak life and hope and faith and peace. So we need to hear that from God first. But what's great about being a child of God is it's not dependent on our age. We actually set the pace. Hearing from God and growing in him comes at the speed of our devotion. You know, it's often said, show me your calendar and I'll show you what's important to you. And that's so true. It's only up to me. I can only decide how much time I want to spend with God and in his word. But we remember, we can't do that in our own strength. We have the Holy Spirit. And our role then is to simply pray, Jesus, would you help me? Would you help me say no to distractions? Would you help me put you first? But if we turn back to Samuel, we notice in verse 3, it says that Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now, the ark of God meaning the presence of God. That's where the Lord's presence was. So Samuel was in the presence of God. So if we want to hear from God, then we must spend time with God. I know. You're like, I came here to hear that. Of course that is true. But hey, it's the simplest of things. If you want to hear from God, be in God's presence. Because we have become, as a society, I think, so great at multitasking that we've lost the ability and the art to do the one thing. The one thing, the most important thing, just to be with God. But for those of you who know the story, you might be like, yeah, but Samuel was different. He was set apart by his mum, Hannah. He was dedicated by his mum, Hannah, to be in the presence of the Lord forever. But you know what? So are we. Because when we put our faith in God, when you put your faith in God, we are no longer ourselves. Our life is now in Jesus. So we are to position ourselves where he speaks. And one easy way that we can do that is by doing what we're doing right now. By coming to church, but coming to church consistently to hear the word of God preached. Be in a faith environment where the Holy Spirit is welcomed. But I know fully well that you can be in church and yet not have a relationship with Jesus. Because I attended church for years and didn't know him. But at the same time, do you know where it was that I eventually surrendered and gave my life to God? Here. In church, right in this building, matter of fact, on a Sunday morning, just like this. I'm no mathematician, but I do know that my chances of hearing from God are higher if I put myself in a position and a place where he speaks. So come back for worship night tonight. Come back. Be in a place where we are expectant and we are praying, Lord, come and speak. And because, in fact, it was the first time that I realized I could hear from God was during worship. And it was during the time we were singing a song called Build My Life. We were singing it pretty much every week. But on that day, God decided to use it to speak to me. And we can often hear people say, oh, God spoke to me. And I know some are like, what does that even mean? Well, practically for me, what that means is it's like I hear all the other words, but God picks up his little highlighter out of his pocket and he runs it over something to draw my attention to it. He highlights it. He puts an italics or bold, whatever it is, to get my attention. So he did that upon a lyric. And it says, I will build my life upon your love, for it is a firm foundation. Now that morning, God used it and the question came, Nicole, will you build your life upon me? Will you get baptized and build your life on my foundation? And I knew I had a choice. I could either ignore it or I could either listen and obey and do it. So I did. I got baptized. Woo! Hopefully, I've landed here. But on that morning, I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, there is no way I would come up with this on my own. I was nervous. I remember thinking, why am I doing this, to be honest? But I knew it was God speaking because it lined up with his word. I had sat in church and learned that God would ask me to be baptized. And as said it, Josiah will say it next week as well, but to recognize God speaking, we need to know who he is. And to know who Jesus is to know the word of God. And it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, which makes sense because we see that God had been speaking. He had already been calling out to Samuel. But because Samuel may have been in his house but didn't know God, like know God, the voice was foreign to him. So on that day that I got baptized, it was like God replied to me and said, yes, Nicole, I'm fully aware that you would not do this on your own. That is the point. Do you see? I am with you. And I learned something that I'll hold on to forever. That whenever God asks me to do something, his promise is that he will be with me in it. And whenever God asks you to do something, you can be assured he's not leaving you to do it on your own. He will be with you. So do not allow fear to determine your response. Do not let fear stop you from obeying God. He knows what's best for us and he is asking you for a reason and will be with you as you do it. So that really was the start of an adventure with God, of saying yes to things and yes to things that make me uncomfortable. And mostly, it always makes me uncomfortable. I have to say what God asks me to do always makes me nervous. But that's because God is wanting to stretch you and I. He's wanting us to surrender to him and to trust him and rely on him and not in our own strength. If I had it my way, I would just do what I felt comfortable doing, because that's easy for me. But God wants us to rely on him, put our trust in him and our faith on the line. So I'm sorry to say, but he's probably going to ask you to do things that you may not want to do. And it doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert or a whatever of it. He cares about the call of God on your life and he wants you to partner with him to bring down the kingdom of God. But the one constant in all of that is, whatever he asks or says to me, every single word he says will draw me closer to him, not away. One test that I do to know if it's God speaking or not is I stop and I ask myself, is this thought, prompt, idea, does it bring me closer to God or away from God? Is what I'm hearing bringing shame and doubt? Or is it confirming who I am in Jesus? Because I used to listen to junk like, oh, you just acted like that and you think you're going to come pick up your Bible? You just thought that? You just said that? You just yelled at your kids and you think the next day you're going to pick up your Bible? I used to listen to stuff like that. Now, if any thought like that comes, it's like a little siren. I see it in my mind. Alert, alert, this is the voice of a stranger. This is the voice, this is not of God, because it's trying to pull me away from God, rather to God. Because we remember in John 10, or we just read verse 5, it tells us, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So I hold on to the promise that I am the sheep and that God is the shepherd and I will listen to his voice. And every other voice I will flee from. But this ability to work out whose voice you're hearing and to discern is only and solely and purely because of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. Because unlike what we read in 1 Samuel verse 1, it says that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. That was pre-Jesus. That's an Old Testament story. But because of Jesus, him coming through his death and resurrection and sending of the Holy Spirit, that's no longer the case. The word of the Lord is no longer rare and visions are no longer rare because of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus speaks in John 14, verses 15 to 17. He's speaking to his disciples, but it's a word for us as well. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." Praise God for the Holy Spirit. I am so, anyone else, so grateful that we are not left to our own devices. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us because we need to hear God's wisdom. We need to know God's ways, not our own. I will make a mess of it. And the Bible tells us that God will give wisdom to those who ask. We just need to simply ask. Jesus has made a way. Take hold of what he has done. It's why it's so important that we are confident that we can hear God speak, because he, we know, wants to direct our steps. And a few years ago, Johan and I, we had actually lost our jobs at the same time. So not ideal situation. And I was looking on Seek, as you do, and which is already not fun and it's already hard. But I remember looking and going, it's not like there's a few things I could even apply for. There was nothing that I could apply for. And it just felt really hard. And then I remember seeing the logo pop up on the website for Seek Volunteer. I was like, oh, I'm not doing that. I need to get paid. We both don't have jobs. I'm not doing this for free. And like Samuel, though, God was calling out, but it can take us a minute to realize that it's him speaking. And, you know, I will often hear people, especially during the Alpha course, they will say things like, oh, I can't hear from God. And then they'll continue to tell me this really awesome story of their entire life. And I'm like, that was God. That was God that whole time. Do you not see? But sometimes it takes us a minute to realize that it is God speaking to us. But hindsight is a wonderful thing. Use it. This week, go back to a time where you had peace over a situation that maybe you weren't meant to have peace about, or a conversation went better than you thought, or it turned out well. Use it and ask God, hey, was that you? So then you can recognize it the next time it comes. Or as God speaks to you, share that with somebody who you trust, who has been listening to God a lot longer, and they will help you orientate with the word of God. So after a while, though, I realized as I was looking at Seek that God's like, Nicole, this is me. I'm trying to get your attention. Click on the Seek Volunteer website. And I did. I found a position that I felt to apply for, which again, it was odd given our scenario, right? But I had an expectation in my spirit all of a sudden. It didn't feel hard. It felt exciting. And I had peace about it. And I'd also asked somebody at church, because I was trying to work out what God was saying and where he wanted me to be. And I said, hey, how does church serve the community? And they said, oh, we serve and we help the Redland Community Center at Christmas. And there it was, the exact place that I was going to apply for. And I realized that God wanted me there. And I understand that even more now, because now what I didn't know then was that a couple of years later, God would ask me and my husband to lead the outreach of this church and to serve the community in a greater way. But he needed to humble me. He needed to teach me. He needed to prepare me and to do something that I wouldn't have chosen to do again because of our situation. But God knew what was coming. So sometimes hearing from God is through somebody else, like that lady. As soon as I heard those three words, Redland Community Center, I knew it was God speaking. We just need to recognize his voice in it. Sometimes it's going one way and realizing maybe I should go another way and I should pivot until I have peace. And I picture it like you're driving and you turn left to learn that you're meant to turn right, or you keep going until there's a stop sign or a turn back wrong way. Because I think we can listen to other people's stories and think that God has physically come with a pen and written their life plan on the wall, and you're like, but what about me? But to be honest, it's rarely the case. Most often, God will reveal one thing at a time. And by one thing, I literally mean one thing. Often, he will give me one word. For example, the last few months at my work, there's been a lot of movement, lots of stuff happening. And I prayed at the start of the year and I said, God, what's happening? And what should I do? And I just sensed, I got the word, watch. One word. Watch. But can I tell you that one word has shaped my decisions, has formed my discussions, my answers with colleagues and managers. That one word has completely shifted my approach to the situation. Because I believe that one word from God is better than 100 spoken by man. You just need to hear it and hold on to it. But why does God do this? Why does he reveal just one thing at a time? Well, it's because we're called to be a people of faith. We are called to move when we can't see the whole picture. That's what marks our life, is one step of faith by the next in obedience, by the next. And then you turn around and you're like, how did I end up here? Not by my own doing, that's for sure. It's just obedience in faith to trust God. But this faith that we have, it's grounded in the Word of God. And we can know what God has to say about a situation because he's already said it. Everything that you need, the Lord has spoken through his word for your season or a season to come. And it's so easy for me to say, God, where are you? Why aren't you speaking to me? But really, I should be asking, have I given God any of my time? Have I paused after I pray to see what he says about my prayers? And have I been reading my Bible? That's a better question for me to ask. And the best advice that I ever got, shout out to my in-laws, was before you read your Bible, pause and pray. Holy Spirit, reveal your word to me. And I realize now that essentially I'm asking what Samuel did. I'm saying, Lord, speak, for I'm listening. And he will. And he's going to speak to you differently than how he speaks to me. God will never go against his word, but the method he uses to get your attention and to speak to you will be different. And that's the point. He's a personal God. He wants to speak to you personally. He knows what's going on in your life and in your heart more than anybody does. We've just got to let him speak into it. So for me, apparently, I like to be prepared, and God knows it, because for a season of my life, over a few years, God was speaking to me in a pattern. And what I mean by that is he would give me a word or a promise or an idea, and then 9 months later, it would come to be. And what else happens in 9 months? Pregnancy. So, yes, and I'm glad I wasn't actually pregnant. I love my boys, but two is enough for me. But God would speak something, and then it would be birthed. He would sow a seed, he would grow, he would prepare, he would develop, and then it would come to be. For example, there was a time where I would just constantly find myself in the book of Joshua. And God was showing me how Joshua trusted him, how he put his faith in him, and was obedient to what he said. And it was because Joshua had to lead them into a new land. So the Lord's like, do not fear, trust me, be obedient, there's something new coming. Except at that time, nothing new was happening in my life. Nothing new was happening. But what do you know? 9 months later, an opportunity came. That meant I had to leave something else behind to enter into a new land. And in fact, it was leading Alpha. And again, I sensed that I should drop a day back at work. Again, I'm like, wait, I know this voice, because remember volunteering, I had to say no to finances, to step into something that I didn't know God was preparing me for. And here we are again, and again, it didn't make sense to everybody at the time, But I had a confidence in my obedience because the Lord's like, remember, I spoke to you 9 months earlier. I already sowed that seed and now it's going to be birthed. So he will speak to you in a way that you need for the season that you are in and the one to come as well. But I would have actually missed what God was doing if I hadn't written it down. I didn't notice the pattern until I went back and read what I had written. So on a super, super practical level, another way that I've learned to hear from God is by journaling. And it's not, dear diary, I'm sad today. I mean, you can do that, but not for me. I write down what I sense God is speaking. So bring a pen and a notebook to your Bible time. When you're spending time with God, bring something because you're expectant for him to speak. Why wouldn't he? I'm his daughter. He's going to speak to me. And I also want to show God that what he says is important to me and I'm ready to listen. So bring a pen and a notebook. But at the time God says something to you, you may not know why, like I said. You may not know what it's for. And it might feel silly, but write it down anyway. I've shared before, it felt really silly that I wrote down that, God, are you asking me to preach at a youth camp when I don't even think I had held a microphone? For real, at that point. I don't even think I had even held a microphone in my life. And I'm writing and it's really embarrassing and awkward. I'm like, God, I think you're saying this. Lol. I don't know if I've got it wrong. Like all of these awkward things, right? 3 years later, hey, Nicole, will you preach at a youth camp? Oh, wait, yes, because God had already told me about it. So my obedience was a lot easier. But all of that is just because he's kind. He's just kind. He's kind to speak and prepare. But it's not always going to be that huge revelation that you hear. Mostly what I hear is Jesus reminding me of something over and over again. For anyone who has kids, you will know. You are just reminding them again and again and again, and it's often the same thing. I'm not hitting Louis and Jude with fresh revelation every day. That just comes with time and as they grow. But what I am doing every day is reminding them every day. So that's what I hear the most, is just Jesus reminding me of what he's done, of who he is, of who I am in him, reminding me of his word over and over again. It's so important to hear God speaking because he wants to teach you how to respond to a situation that he, like he would, not like I would. He's always convicting me. But remember, there's no guilt, there's no shame. That comes from a voice of a stranger that we flee from. But his conviction is in love. So simply what I hear the most is God reminding me that he loves me. Which makes sense because I can teach my boys. I can hopefully impart some wisdom. I can provide direction. But at the end of the day, do you know what I hope that they hear the most is? I love you. I pray that they would know that their mum loves them. And that is why I pray this morning that you would leave convinced that God wants to speak to you because he wants to speak his love over you. And it's from the position of being a child of God, being loved, that everything else will flow from. But we know that God speaks in big ways, but mostly it's the one percenters, right, that make up our life. It's the little decisions that we make. It can be as simple as following a prompt because you thought of somebody you haven't in a while. Maybe stop and pause and go, why? Send an encouraging message to somebody. But I believe spending time with God and learning his voice allows you to hear in those moments outside of your designated God time. You know, God doesn't want us to box him into a Sunday. And I think the moments where you are spending time with God allows you to be able to quickly hear outside of that. For the Bible tells us that we are to continually filled by his Holy Spirit. It's a filling to absolute overflow. So when you find yourself in a work situation and you're like, I don't know what to do here, but wait, I've just heard and I know that voice and I'm going to respond in a way that Jesus would. I don't have to designate that to my Bible time and then report back. In that moment, I can respond with wisdom because God's speaking and because I can hear him, because the Holy Spirit has topped me up to overflow. It's when you have a situation, you're around the table and a family member says something and your flesh wants to do this. Just me? Just me. You're all wonderful and don't. But it's when I hear, maybe not, just wait, just be still. It's being filled by the Holy Spirit. So in your day today, at the coffee shop, wherever you are in tune, and then you can quickly recognize what God is saying for that moment. And we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will, that we would rejoice and that we would be praying all the time. And I understand that to be inviting God into all areas of your life, not just your Sunday, all areas of your life, because prayer and praying continuously is actually a two-way conversation. The Bible tells that, of course, we are meant to ask. We are meant to bring our petitions and our requests to God. But we are also meant to sit and listen to what he has to say about those prayers, requests, and petitions. And I'm really glad there was a time that Johan and I allowed God to speak into an area, and the area was finances. Because about 5 years ago, we were going to put a pool in, which is so exciting. I wasn't a pool kid, so this was like, I have made it in life. I get to put a pool in. And we're so excited. We had got all the quotes, the plans, and we're about to sign the contract. And I still remember I was driving home. I was going to pick up my boys from my in-laws after work. I'm just driving and I just sensed this, not anymore. And I was like, what do you mean, not anymore? And he's like, not a pool anymore. And I lost all peace and I felt really uneasy about putting this pool in. And I actually said to God, really, God, that is so unfun. That is not fun. I thought you were meant to make me happy. But like we know, as mentioned it last week, God's not always in the business, well, not often, of making us happy. So I was like, God, this is so unfun. This is so unfun. But do you know what it would have been more unfun? Using thousands of dollars, and I mean thousands of dollars, of our savings on a pool for Johan and I to both lose our jobs, like I said earlier, at the same time a few months later. That would have been really unfun, and it would have cost us more than our savings. It would have cost us our stress, our anxiety, the tension in the family home, the, oh my gosh, why did we do this? This is not even worth it. That would have been so much more unfun. But you see, God knows things that we don't. God knows things that we don't. I know, of course, but we can forget that because we become so in control of our own lives and we just only see what's in front of us and think, because surely on paper, we could get a pool. We had jobs, secure jobs. We had the finances. We have, like, why wouldn't we get a pool in my own head and on paper as well? That made complete sense. But God knew something we didn't. And I am so grateful. And, you know, we did end up getting a pool just last week, which is super exciting. That's a story for another day of what God can do. But I'm so grateful that we allowed him to speak into areas of our life, including our finances. Again, it's the kindness of God. That's just him being so kind, like a heavenly father going, wait, I'm going to redirect you. I could have ignored it, and I'm so glad I didn't. There are seasons on the way that God will want you to prepare for as well. Again, we cannot see what God sees. And here at Beacon, we know that we're about to enter into a new season. So we move into our building. And back in July 2024, God had highlighted a scripture to me, Deuteronomy 11:11-12. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. Now, we can read that and think, not a lot of it. You're in the Old Testament, you're reading about the Israelites crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land. But again, God got his little highlighter out and he drew my attention to it. Because you will often hear people say, oh, God spoke to me through the Bible, through a story of the Bible. And that's what that means. It's where God uses a story, and whilst it was for the Israelites crossing the Jordan, he'll pick it up, he'll highlight it, and he will apply it to the situation that you are in. But the thing is, again, I had forgotten that I had texted Beck and Az. I think they're in the US at the time saying, hey, I think God's saying this for Beacon Church. Until this year, he reminded me of that word, and I went back to what I had written down and I found it. You see, what he spoke in July, 9 months later, came to be. There was this pattern again. They had found the property. So that encouragement, it was just the Lord saying, hey, Beacon Church, you are going to drink rain from heaven. How amazing is that? Side note, that this new building, this new land, the God was saying his eyes are going to be on it. His eyes are going to be on it. And we are going to drink rain from heaven. You see, I use that as an example of God speaking, not just for yourself and your own story that he's writing, but he wants to speak to you for the world and sphere of influence he's called you to be a part of. It's never, rarely is, just about us. It is mostly always about what is going on and where you are and your sphere of influence. So we see that God is always speaking to you for a purpose, whether it's for the season that you are in right now or for a season that you don't even know is on its way. But I pray that, as I said this morning, you would know that God wants to speak to you. And that as his sheep and as he is the shepherd, you can hear from him. God wants to speak into your life because he cares for you. He has assignments for you. And all of this, again, is because he is a loving father that is speaking to his kids. So I hope that maybe you've learned some new ways of hearing from God, positioning yourself where he speaks, writing down what he's saying, praying before you read, and not letting fear form your response. But whilst all of this hearing from God, it is for us, it's actually about Jesus. And it's us taking hold of what Jesus has given us access to, which is having a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Don't keep that till you're in heaven. Heaven is now. It says we pray for heaven to come now. And Jesus has made a way for God to speak and for you as his child to hear. So as we wrap up, I want to give you an opportunity to respond and say like Samuel did, Lord, speak, for I'm listening. So I invite you to stand, and the team is going to lead us. And maybe for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time, you will pray and say to the Lord, hey, would you speak, for I'm listening? Because I sense God give me a picture of a home phone. Some of you are like, what's a home phone? So mobiles never existed. We had to have this one phone. And it was attached to a cord. But he gave me a picture. It was like a yellow, like an old home phone. And it had been hung up. And I sensed that God is saying, hey, would you pick it up again, for I am calling. So the team's going to lead. And I encourage you, pray. Speak, Lord, for I am listening.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.